where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Now we're on to Lauren Hidalgo with a warehouse shop. And she's going to talk about how her company is different than some that we already know about and all the really cool things she has on her site. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you for having me. So my company is called A Warehouse. It's awarehouseshop.com. We are a retail marketplace dedicated to supporting small businesses in the U.S. primarily. Not all of our products are strictly 100% made in the USA, but we do work with mostly American small businesses. And some of them, for example, are producing abroad and the majority are producing locally. So how we are different as a marketplace, a retail marketplace, compared to maybe some of the bigger ones that you know, is that we are curated. So we basically vet every single vendor that we work with. We actually have conversations with them. I personally know all of them. We're working with, I think it's about close to 200 at this point. And it's really kind of grown into something that I didn't expect. And one of the things that I think really brings value to it for our customers is firstly the curation. So you're not having to sift through millions of products, right? Which is just exhausting mentally. And people, you know, they have enough decisions to make every day. So we kind of curate and refine the product selection to begin with. But also for me, what I'm really passionate about, not only supporting people with local businesses in the US, but also supporting transparent supply chains and, you know, product integrity, product quality. So retail waste and, you know, pollution, everyone loves to talk about like global warming and these sorts of things, but no one actually talks about retail pollution. For example, in a lot of supply chains, products that are produced overseas, there is a lot of waste, manufacturing waste associated with those products. So most of our suppliers, they're producing in ways, for example, made to order blankets. So when you place the order, the blanket is domestically woven on the East Coast using high quality cotton, wool, and it's made for you. So there aren't, you know, 100 other of the same blankets that are getting manufactured, but then getting disposed of, because the vendor doesn't want to, you know, have excess supply available. So they'll dispose of that alternatively if they can't sell it. We avoid all of that just because of the model that all of our vendors work with. And then for our vendors as well, it's great for them because they basically have a marketplace where they can be discovered. It's so difficult as a creator to get somebody's attention nowadays. It's basically next to impossible. And I really empathize with all creators and all vendors and everybody who has a business in general, because marketing nowadays is just extremely difficult. It feels like it's impossible for a lot of people. So having a marketplace that kind of unites people within a certain criteria really helps vendors get discovered and just makes the shopping experience also more enjoyable for a customer base that is looking for a certain caliber of quality.
Yeah, I noticed the items on your site were really high quality. And so I did notice there was a link to a website. I know Amazon does that too. I think it was Farmhouse. So that's very supportive of them. So we could buy either through you or through Farmhouse. And then also I saw something on there that I don't think I've seen anywhere else. And it was a pebbled copper mixing bowl for a stand mixer. Can you get those anywhere else?
Probably not. Yeah, that's the KitchenAid Copper Mixing Bowl. So that's actually an Austin, Texas-based company that manufactures between Mexico and the U.S., but they're using traditional, artisanal, old-school processes. So you probably can't get that anywhere else. I don't know. That actually was one of our best sellers last holiday season. And the thing about our marketplace also that makes it different from other similar curated marketplaces is that we are not strictly, you know, every product has to be 100% made in the USA. Like that bowl that's actually made in Mexico. Or for example, we work with some various women who have businesses either in Los Angeles or Boston, but they are originally mm-hmm. from India, and they actually have their own textile businesses and they frequently go back to India. They work with cooperatives in India to produce these products and bring them to the US market. So I say it's about 75% of products are made domestically, but sourcing materials may not be 100% local because that could literally be impossible. It's, you know, we don't have all of the supply chain available for some products. Mm-hmm. But then also, I'm half American, half Spanish. So I didn't move to the US until I was 18. And there are so many great things from abroad, right? And so many, ancient practices, copper, ceramics, textiles, all of these different things that we can bring to the US market that I think just have a lot more like character and value compared to maybe something you would find at like Target. No offense to Target, but it's nice for customers to have alternatives.
So, Lauren, how did you get into this business?
So I started this business as a side project. I was working at a 9 to 5, and my first day at that job was the first day back in office from the pandemic. So the work situation was hybrid work. And I was new. I was living in Texas, in Houston. I was new to Houston. I was only going into the office like 2 days a week. So I just had no friends and a lot of free time. So I kind of started thinking about, what could I do with this free time? And there's a website called Huckberry. It's the one-stop men's shop. And my now husband, who was my boyfriend, I noticed that he liked that store a lot. And I just thought that that idea of a marketplace was very cool. But Huckberry in itself, it's built for male, like men's taste. So there weren't things on there that I really liked, but they have a high quality caliber overall. So I was That kind of started the whole idea. And then I did more research and I thought, oh, it would be really cool if we could kind of make this more vetted in terms of supporting more made in the USA production or, just looking at the supply chains. I have a background in supply chain. I was working actually in my 9 to 5 in supply chain. So that's also where that part came in. And then it kind of snowballed into this. It was never like it was never a plan. It just kind of happened. And I remember having to think a lot about, like, what am I doing? Like, what am I building? And I redid the website many times to get it to where it is now. But now I'm finally at the point, or for the maybe past year, where I've had a product that I think has a very much clearer identity, not only maybe to the customers, but also to me as a creator.
Yeah, your website's gorgeous. So, Leah, do you have a question or comment?
I mean, I'm shopping right now, Lauren. I'm on the website. I'm looking for the copper bowl. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah, I think one thing that's really interesting just about your model in general, too, and your approach, back to the topic around authenticity, I think that particularly in this day and age, the consumer is looking not just to buy a product, but is looking to connect with a brand in an authentic way. And with someone like Lauren, who obviously has incredible taste, right, and an ability to curate, a marketplace, I think consumers are able to find people, influencers that they trust to make those buying decisions and just shop easier and faster. So I love it. I'm on here right now. I'm going to do some shopping.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So Lauren, it's interesting. Are you planning to scale? And if so, kind of how would you approach that given the high personal touch that you give to your vendors and your business?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this. It's a difficult question to answer because I don't ever want to close doors to an opportunity. So I'm always open, and that's why I like to do things like podcasts or just go to sort of networking events to meet people because you never know like what opportunity life will present. But there is something for me about scaling slowly and organically. So last year, I invested a lot of money in paid ads, Meta ads, Google ads, podcast ads, all of the ads. I wanted to try everything basically and see what worked and what I liked and what wasn't working. And then this year, I was like, okay, now I'm going to do the opposite. I'm just going to go 100% organic. And this year, we've actually had better results. I think because going full organic, not running all of these ads made me really focus on all of the little details of the website, of the marketing, of the customer service, everything, refining everything so that I was really making sure that the entire process for the customer or, the way that the social media presents itself was 100% optimized. I think before it was not, and I was kind of using something like paid ads, which obviously costs a lot of money, to kind of cover up little holes that needed to be fixed. So when it comes to scaling, That is my apprehension, right? I don't want to throw money at something and then all of a sudden kind of holes or gaps start to form and I am not really noticing them because, you know, the money is basically generating sales regardless, right? It's harder to kind of pinpoint those things sometimes. It depends on the firm or, you know, who the investors are, what they would want you to do. I know that there are a lot more firms now that are a lot more kind of mission oriented, right? More values driven. So something like that could work. But if it were to be a firm that's like, okay, we want you to reach X figures and then go public, that wouldn't work for me. Just because at the end of the day, you know, I tell my customers, I'm like, I have had phone calls with my customers about, you know, orders before. And I love that part of the business. It's not something that I'll do forever. And it's not something I do as much as I used to. But that, you know, process of trust, I think, as I mentioned before, I think it's just going to become more valuable. But I would obviously be open to anybody who understands that, because for me, that's basically the fundamentals of it.
So how do you find the products and the vendors and the makers for your website? Do you look for them or do they find you?
So now it's a mix of both. So we have a vendor application form on the website, and a lot of people will find us from social media and things like that. Before I actually started this, I just purchased some products from five vendors. I bought them wholesale, and then I started this website, and that was it. But now as we've scaled, we've switched to a consignment model where the products ship from the vendors' houses so that they can list also a lot more items. So we don't have also those financial constraints when it comes to buying wholesale. So now it's kind of a mix of both. We work on Shopify, and Shopify, they launched an app called Shopify Collective, which essentially connects retailers and suppliers like us. So we can kind of become friends and sync our stores, and then orders just process through like that. So that's also been really great in terms of scaling.
Are there any products you really prefer to add to your site, or do you just take about any kind of consumer good?
I don't want to get to a million products, for example, like, you know, Etsy, I think they have like 80 million. I don't know how many millions Amazon has. I don't want to get to a point where it's too many products, but I do want to get to a point where it's very cohesive. So generally, whatever you're looking for, you can hopefully find within, you know, general home goods, makeup, beauty, some clothing, things like that. We're not going to add on every single product ever. And we're not going to say yes to every single person that wants to work with us, because otherwise that would negate the curation aspect and value of it. But yeah, I do think, well, one of the areas that I'm really excited about is the Aware Juniors section that we launched towards the end of Q1 this year. So that's kids and baby products, because actually my niece is now about 1 year old. And I remember when she was born, my brother-in-law was just like, what is up with all of these baby products? They're so expensive. You know, they were all, you know, made in China, all of them. And so going into Aware Juniors, it unveiled a whole world of made in the USA baby supplies that are really high quality. They're sold at a very good price point. So I think that's one of the, I don't have a baby yet, but, you know, I think that's one of the areas of the website that I'm most excited for, because now a lot of my friends and stuff are starting to have kids. So yeah, I think we'll just see where it goes.
I'm going to go have to look at that, because we have grandkids and I order bamboo clothing from England because I can't find it here, but I'm excited to see what you have on your site. The name of your site is A Warehouse Shop.
Yes.
Aware is A-W-A-R-E, house shop. So you're looking for vendors, you're looking for buyers, everything, right?
Yes. And any feedback, if you're a customer and there's something that you would like, we, you know, made by a small business, please let us know and we'll look for it. Or if you have a brand that you think would be a good fit, also please send it, because we're always looking for new suppliers to work with.
Excellent. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.